and by your New Jersey Devils.
From the studios of WFN in New York, this is Mic'd Up, yes, with the Nets today, so it'll just be radio only today. We'll take you right up until 7 o'clock, and now you can stop with all your emails. The station's gotten countless today. Where was I? Why aren't I at 1 o'clock? Hey, we told you, if you were paying attention, that the hockey game was on at 1. I wasn't scheduled to be on at all. The Nets were nice enough to get out of the way to allow us to get on here after a football Sunday. Why, you got something you want to talk about? Anything on your mind today? Anything that happened over the weekend that we need to touch on? Or is it just another January Monday here? Obviously, as basketball abounds, terrible loss by the Knicks today, but we'll put that aside. UConn on the way with Villanova, as I'm watching right now. But obviously, we will touch on some ball games, including one played yesterday afternoon. And finally, if you wanted to hear the Jet defense get some credit, then turn up the volume. Because yesterday, the defense finally showed up and did something that was worthy of taking a bow. This defense that has, in my mind, underwhelmed all season, been overrated all season, actually yesterday put forth a tremendous performance. From game plan through execution, they did it a wondrous job. And to me, that was this game. If you've listened to me all week, you know that I felt that the Pats were overrated and I felt that the defense was a house of cards. I did not in any way think their offense was overrated, and I thought the Jets, while playing a close game yesterday, would lose. And I did not think their defense was up to this challenge, and their defense was up to the challenge. Their defense did a tremendous job, and everything about this game was really about the coverage. The disguising the coverage, the implementation of the coverage, the keeping the quarterback off balance, keeping the receivers off balance, knocking the receivers off their routes, making Brady guess a lot, and that's what the Jets did yesterday. So to me, this game was about coverage, quarterback, big plays. That's what won this game for the Jets. That's why they now get to move on to play the Steelers. They earned it. They did a tremendous job yesterday in the areas I just mentioned. Coverage, quarterback, and then, of course, the big plays produced by the quarterback. And when the game got underway, it had a very, very typical look to it in that the Pats moved the ball very, very well. And that early interception was an enormous factor, both in terms of giving the Jets a life and also in terms of putting the seed of doubt into Tom Brady's mind. It was almost like you made him bleed. It's almost like you put a little doubt into a quarterback who had not had anything go bad or anything go wrong in so long that when he threw, and it was almost a stunning feeling, you could almost hear the stunned people in the building. They were looking like, hey, this is going to end up in the end zone. Boom, boom, here we go. 7-0 the Pats moving right down the field. Jets are off balance. Jets are second guessing. Jets are looking at each other. Oh, my God, interception coming back the other way. Now, the Jets didn't play that series well. And then they missed the chip shot field goal. And then down came the Pats again. And instead of 7, they got 3 because Crumpler drops a touchdown pass. So here we are in the first quarter. A first quarter that the Jets are being dominated at the line of scrimmage by the Pats. And instead of the game being 14-0, instead of the game being 10-0, instead of the game being 7-0, the game is only 3-0. And at 3-0, you're saying, wait a second, we're right in this game. And they had already got a big sack. Ellis had gotten a big sack on Brady. They had already hit Brady. They had already confused him on the screen pass. I think he was more confused by the look he saw on that screen pass than anything else. A screen pass that he's thrown how many times? And give Crumpler, who's about 40 pounds bigger than he used to be, credit for catching Harris. Also, though, you have to knock Crumpler for later dropping a touchdown pass on the second drive. But here it was. After one quarter, the Pats had dominated the line of scrimmage. They're only up 3-0. And from there, the Jets took over. And really, it was about pressure, yes. Sean Ellis with, I think, the game of his career. He's always been an underrated player, but with the game of his career. But with the way they were able to entice Brady to run the football by showing some looks that he was like, wow, I have to run against this. I got a corner against a tackle. I have to run here. We got to be able to block the corner. We got to be able to block the safety on a line of scrimmage where there should be a defensive end. The looks they gave him, the enticing them into running the football, keeping them off balance, confusing them, and then wall-to-wall coverage, knocking guys off their routes, putting hands on receivers, knocking the receivers around, not giving them free release, and then locking guys up on the outside. So really a phenomenal game plan by the defensive coaches led by Rex Ryan, a tremendous implementation of the game plan by the Jet defense. I thought worthy of any big playoff moment, a tremendous implementation of the Jet defense. And then the quarterback and the wide receivers making enough plays and also being aided by the confusion that the Pats clearly had on offense and being aided by what was now really the third bad postseason game. And I could sprinkle in a regular season game against the Colts, which was befuddling, as we all know, when he went for it on his own 28-yard line. But another bad Belichick game. I mean, Belichick's game yesterday was putrid. If he wasn't Belichick, they'd run another coach out of town who had a game like yesterday. First of all, he wins the coin toss with his offense. He wins the coin toss at the furs. What does he want his offense on the field? What hit the deferring for? He wins the coin toss and defers. His offense is scoring 30 points every game. He's got the juggernaut offense. You want to make a statement early and you want to give the Jets the ball. Makes no sense. Number two, the fake punt. Now, today you are hearing a lot of rumblings. And I don't know if anyone wants to just lay this at the feet of a second-year safety. But we are supposed to believe today that a second-year safety on his own in a playoff game, down 7-3, minute and change left in the first half, own end of the field, getting the ball to start the second half, called his own number on a fake punt? Now, listen, I don't want to be cynical. I find that hard to believe. We've been hearing that since last night, but I find it hard to believe. You're telling me he called his own number and then dropped the ball? That's a ticket out of town, if that's the case. Because that fake punt, an incredibly big mistake. We saw two games this weekend. The Atlanta game before the half, risk-reward. Last night before the half, risk-reward. What were you gaining there with the fake punt? Is it going to go 60 yards for a touchdown, or is it just going to give you a first down and you still got to drive the field to get any points? Versus giving the Jets the ball in your end, down 7-3, when you're getting the ball to start the third quarter. One of the colossal mistakes ever in a playoff game. An incredibly big one, but he wasn't through. Somebody want to explain to me that 7.5-minute drive, which made what the Eagles did to the Pats in the Super Bowl look like they were running a hurry-up. I understand you want to run it a few times against the looks the Jets were giving you, which is why you had 8 runs out of those 14 plays over 7.5 minutes, which produced no points. But why 20 and 30 seconds for a team that lives on the hurry-up? Why 20 or 30 seconds in the huddle to come out and run the ball when you are down 10 points? A 7-minute, 45-second drive to nowhere. That's what that was yesterday, folks. 7.5-minute drive to nowhere. But they weren't through. They came down the field needing 2 possessions. And it was imperative, if you do the math, that they either end the possession and kick the field goal or score the touchdown while they were still north of the 2-minute warning so they can kick off. They only had 2 timeouts. Instead, they lollygag around and on third down throw a meaningless ball in the flat, which did nothing except enable them to get the ball to the other side of the 2-minute warning. And instead, they realized their error and tried to rush to get the playoff before the 2-minute warning. What kind of foresight is that? This is the Pats. They made Herm Edwards look good on the sideline when their ball, with their time element there, in the way they calculated that. It made no sense. They had to make sure they kept north of the two-minute warning by the time they kicked the field goal. Instead, they were on the other side, which meant an onside kick. An onside kick, which they kicked very well, but then booted because they had the recovery. So the Pats, the brilliant Pats, the B&B boys, were B&B as in bad and badder yesterday. They were awful. Give the Jets credit for every part of it, although Belichick's decisions, those you have to say are his own. And that fake punt will live in infamy, not only in Patriot history, but in NFL playoff history for a very long time. Because explain that to anybody, how that makes sense. How could you possibly down only 7-3, risk a fake punt there when you're getting a ball to start the third quarter? That makes no zero sense. But back to the Jets, because it was coverage, which meant sacks, which meant confusion, and then it was quarterback and big plays, and they made them. They made the big play to Edwards. They made another big play to Edwards. They made the play to Tomlinson for the touchdown. They made the play to Edwards to the touchdown before the half. They made the play to Kotchery. They made the play to Holmes. They made big play after big play after big play, and he spread it out. He got it to a lot of people, sprinkling some running game, big plays, running game, no turnovers, three touchdowns, and you wind up getting ready to play in the AFC Championship game for the second straight year. So the Jets put together a defensive game plan that worked wonders. That the offensive game plan worked, to me, is not a surprise. I told you I didn't think that defense was very good. And where it showed you it wasn't that good was at 14-11. At 14-11, where the Jets needed to make a play, the Pats sprung a leak. And then Holmes made a terrific, terrific catch. And got his feet down in the corner of the end zone. A well-executed play, a well-thrown play, a well-caught play, all the way around. Forget the final score. It's meaningless. Doesn't matter. The bottom line, they didn't get the onside kicks. The rest of it doesn't matter. The bottom line is this. The Jets outplayed them. They out-game-planned them. They out-executed him. They out-executed him at quarterback. They out-executed him on the sideline. They out-executed him on defense. And they won the game. So congratulations to the Jets. They earned it. I'm sure for the Pats, a bitter loss. And now the Jets find themselves in a four-team tournament, of which I think the teams are all very, very close. Any one of them could win. Obviously, the Packers and the Jets are the hot hands. Both of them will be on the road. Green Bay as a three-point favorite because of their dominance of late. Jets as a three-point underdog. But they've already gone to Pittsburgh and won one, so you know you can do it. At the other side of four, I'll let you get on here and revel in it. Enjoy it as before we go forward. But let me just say this as we do. That win yesterday, because it's the Pats, I understand it is sweet. And sweeter than sweet because of the fact it's New England, and you look at New England as the team to beat. But here, now, this is still New York. And the bottom line is this. This only gets remembered as being special if you finish the job. They have the opportunity now. They have a team that can clearly win the next two games. But now, you have to go win it. Because in this town, it's only about winning. It's not about getting there. It's not about getting to AFC Championship games. Does anybody fondly remember the Jets who won a division title and went to Denver and lost? No. Nor should they. Does anybody fondly remember the fossil-led Giant team that won the NFC Championship game over Minnesota 41-0? No. Why should they? Because the team lost its last game. If you lose your last game, it never sticks. The only way in this town that it sticks is if you win your last game, because then it lasts forever. Ask Joe Namath. Ask Tyree. Ask anybody with the Giants who was part of that game versus part of the game against the Colts, against the Ravens, rather. In football, there's so much buildup to the next game that if you go to that next game and lose, it does take away all the good things that happened along the way. Now, you can step back a month from now and say, oh, the Jets, they have a young quarterback, a second-year coach, look what they're building here. That's all fine. But now is an opportunity that you don't know when it's coming again. Ask Dan Marino. I remember the year Dan Marino went to a Super Bowl, I heard, he's going to go to 6 or 7. He's going to go to 5 or 6. He never went to another one. Sometimes you don't. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know if you're going to get a rash injuries. You don't know what's going to happen in sports. That's what makes it fun. You don't know year to year. That's why when you have an opportunity presented to you, when you have earned the right to seize that moment, seize it. And in that respect, the Jets are halfway home. Great win, enormous win. But it's only a step. It's not the final. They were here last year. This year, they have a far better chance. Last year, they were in a very tough spot going into the AFC Championship game. This year, they're going into a winnable game. I don't think anybody would dispute that. Now, that's not to say the Steelers are going to be any pushovers here. They're not. They're a legitimately good team. And they have the impetus of knowing that the Jets already beat them this year, so they have a little bit of a score to settle with the Jets. But this ride is now halfway complete. Stunning win, big win. Big win. An enormous win. As far as the changing of the guard in the AFC East, big win. But that's a neighborhood rivalry. Now you're trying to take up the whole league. Steelers don't care that you beat the Pats. Packers don't care. Bears don't care. Now you step back and appreciate what went on yesterday, obviously. But now what it means an even greater opportunity is just waiting there to be seized. Tremendous performance. And I know a lot of the Jet fans have wanted me to talk about this defense. Now, yesterday, you had to be impressed by that defense. That is what you want from a defense. You want a defense to set an agenda on a field, to dictate to an offense. And they did that yesterday. None bigger than what Sean Ellis gave you yesterday. That was the game of Sean Ellis' career. The game of his career. Sean Ellis has had a very good career here. He's been here a very long time. As you heard Jim Nance say yesterday, the draft pick he was drafted on was a draft pick of the year the Jets had the 4 draft picks. In the middle of that round, they drafted, if you remember, Abraham and Ellis. Abraham didn't have such a good Saturday night. Ellis had a much better Sunday. He's had a lot of good Sundays. None sweeter, none better than the Sunday he had yesterday. And now for Ellis and all his friends, there's another Sunday coming up. 4 o'clock, here's Mink.
WFAN, WFAN HD, and WXRK HD3, New York. WFAN.